Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. You guys got the dream team back again. Myself, Diamond Hands D, Tony the Tiger, and Cool Hands Luke.
Was I even out last week? I can't even remember at this point. What's going on anymore?
You were here last week.
Was I?
Yeah,
it was 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
I can't keep track in my head.
You left last week, but you left after
the show.
That's
right. Yeah. That's right.
It's actually my job. I have to keep track of your whereabouts.
You got to keep track of Luke. Yeah. Make sure I'm alive still.
So, yeah, you know, before we get started, I was actually stuck in traffic this morning. I heard Robert De Niro is going to be a new dad at the age of 79.
They did that on purpose, by the way they wrote it. It said, like, Robert De Niro, dad at 79. Like, they could have wrote it so much differently than, because it looked like was Robert De Niro dead at 79, right? So everyone was freaking out.
So, big shout out to Bobby D out there. 79. That's something.
And he can still whoop all of our asses.
He'll just have you knocked off, dude. He'll hire somebody to break your legs.
All right. Well, we got, lots to talk about this week. So, something that's popped up on all of our radars, I think, is credit card debt and the momentum that it seems to have. So we'll dive into that subject. Talk about some electric cars, some electrification of some police forces in California. And got a really good canceled this week. I'm looking forward to talk about that. So, and then inflation numbers came out today. So basically right in line with expectations. I think everyone was expecting about 5% and it came in at 4.9%.
And the market rejoices.
Yep.
Until right now we're talking and it sells off completely. So.
Yeah.
It rejoiced and was up like 1.5%. Now it's flat.
Yeah.
We'll see what it ends at the day.
I think what they say, like core is still 5.5%. You know, so the stuff that's really important to us.
Yeah.
We love 5% inflation. The markets love 5% inflation. Isn't that
like
crazy?
5% interest rates, 5% Fed funds rates. They like 6.5% mortgage rates. Like,
yeah.
More.
So that goes right into
need more.
That goes right into the middle class. Okay. So me and Derek were talking about this. Apparently, I just tell it how it is. Everyone gets upset, I guess, when I tell it how it is. But apparently screwed is a bad word. And I went on Monday on TV and I said, middle class is getting screwed because that's what's happening. The middle class is getting screwed. And between credit card interest, between the mortgages, between inflation still at 5%, right? What the heck's going to happen when, as we're living on this credit card, it's for, you know, trillion dollars in credit card revolving credit debt. What's going to happen when you finally have to pay the piper, but your now $10,000 turns into $50,000 in 5 years because it compounds at 25%?
Good question. I mean, so that leads us into like the credit card thing. Yeah. So we are approaching an all-time balance of $1 trillion in credit card debt, all-time high. And the average interest rate, average, is 25%. So some of it could be 30%. Some of it could be 20%. So the thing that really grinds my gears is obviously inflation is hurt. You know, the theory behind this is that, you know, people can't keep up with inflation, so they're slapping it on credit cards. Well, this is what grinds my gear. This is what the credit card companies are honing in on.
Yep.
Right? Because you hear the media talk about record profits in oil.
Yep.
They're focusing in on oil. And in oil last year in 2022, $200 billion in profits. Now that is the headline number. But their profit margin is around 5% from the research that I did in 2022. Credit cards, they made about one company made $15 billion. Their gross profit, their profit margin was almost 100%. Visa, 50%. Mm-hmm. Why isn't this being talked about?
Well, this is what they want. This is why their business exists.
That's why California is transitioning to electric cars, which we'll be talking about.
Do you know the crazy thing, though, about credit card debt that not a lot of people talk about is you can actually get out of like not paying it, though? though. Like, without, like, you had to go bankrupt and that whole thing, but you can actually, you can get out of it, right? It's not actually like a mortgage where you lose a house. Credit card debt is considered something else because there's no tangible asset attached to it, right? So the question to ask yourself is, are we going into a period like where 5-10 years down the road, there are going to be defaults, there are going to be bankruptcies, but these companies like the Visa, the MasterCards, the Amex, they get screwed out of this money.
So there is the double-edged sword, because I understand that too. Are they making so much profit because of, you know, just getting screwed, as you called it, Luke? You know, like, is the credit card company getting screwed because, yeah, like, they're lending money out and they never know if they're going to get paid? So do they need to make those large? I mean, that's why they charge 25% interest. They don't know if they're going to get paid back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and if you're a good at paying your bills, like, you'll never pay interest. So what's the difference?
Right.
But the average person, you know, racks up credit card debt. And then, like Luke said, like, hey, at 25%, if you're paying minimum interest.
Well, look at the average household credit card. It's usually around $7,000 is like the average median.
Is that what it is?
Household credit card debt, right? So you just do the math on that. If you revolve at 7% or $7,000 and your interest went from 15% now to 25%, you might have been used to paying some sort of principal and then not, and keeping that, you know, steady at $7,000. Eventually that 10% or so catches up, right? And then next thing you know, it's $15,000, like I said, 5 years down the road. So, like, it's just, you know, the power of compounding works great for you if you're on the right side of it. You know, it also works against you if you're the wrong side of it. And you take a look at student loans, credit card debt, and debt in general, this that our economy is built on, that compounds quickly. I mean, it doesn't compound if you pay it off this year, but next year, but that's not going to happen, yeah. Especially as consumers become weaker. So again, this isn't like a short-term thing we got to think of. It's no short-term game plan. This is a long-term thing we're going to be talking about for the next decade.
Yeah. I mean, do you believe the narrative that we're approaching all-time credit card debt because people can't keep up with inflation? Is that true, or is just people just splurging?
It's YOLO. We have a spending issue. Yeah,
it's totally a spending issue, and that's what, you know, we talk about the kind of ancillary impacts of COVID. This is definitely one of them. Once you raise your standard of living, it is very, very difficult to lower it again. And that's exactly what happened in 2020. There is free money getting passed out. And, you know, I'm not trying to gloss over the bad stuff. But, you know, we're talking finance here. You know, what happened was no one was doing anything because they couldn't do anything. Money was building up in their checking account because you can't take vacations and stuff like that. There was stimulus coming in. And people just got used to spending. That's really the bottom line, and it's difficult. And you know we're talking before, Luke and I, like that Dave Ramsey's clip is pretty famous now about someone calling up and she's like 29 and she has $1 million of debt, and everyone is just dumbfounded how much you can rack up. But how does
a 29-year-old get the credit to? Well, they loan a million dollars,
like $200,000 in student loans.
Right.
They had, you know, a $500,000 mortgage. They had like $80,000 apiece in credit cards. Like, it was astounding. And like, Luke and I don't know how I could function if I every day I would come home and there'd be an $80,000 credit card statement in the mail. Like, how do you even operate? It's just crazy, but obviously people.
Well, you're a slave to the system at that point, right? We're essentially the more in debt you are, the more of a slave you are to the system, and it's what the system wants you to do. And you're taught at a young age, take out student loans, like go to college, take out student loans. So you have to go to college, or you're going to be a failure. So that's a complete lie. Mm-hmm. Like it just. The system itself needs revamped. The education component needs revamped. The whole way of thinking in today's world needs revamped, and that's the problem.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, credit card issues will still continue to be a problem as long as, you know, the job market is still good. There's, you know, we're still at low unemployment, and people are, if they have jobs, they can make their minimum payments. Yep. When they don't have jobs, they won't be able to make their minimum payments.
Or what happens when the access to credit gets taken away too? Like these regional banks tightening credit lines to, you know, for mortgages. Like what happens if the credit card companies, you start seeing delinquencies tick up, and what happens if they limit the credit lines? Like what happens then if you can't keep the ball game going anymore?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you might have somebody who has a $25,000 credit line, they only got $5,000 balance and they take it down to 10.
Right.
Yeah. So Yeah, it's possible.
36% of U.S. adults have more credit card debt than they have savings.
Yep.
I found that.
37, you said?
36.
36.
Yep. Hmm.
I mean, that's over a third. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it really is. I mean,
it really is crazy.
And it's just credit card debt. That's not considering any kind of auto loans, mortgage. That's not considering anything else, right?
No.
Just credit card debt. Just credit card debt.
Yeah.
Well.
All right, cool.
That's why we preach these things, and we try to educate and try to prevent the next generation from making some of the same mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that. You know, there's been years where oil has not been as profitable. You know, they're making record profits, but I mean, it's based on, there's a lot of consumption of oil, right? I mean, it's their margins are still around 5%, where credit cards are north of 50.
Yeah.
So,
well, the next thing you know,
who's the real culprit?
Next thing you know is you're going to see, you know, Democrats specifically start pushing for forgiveness. And forget, you know, credit loan, credit card forgiveness. You know, they already pushed the student loan stuff. What's stopping them from, you know, preventing them from going the credit card route, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah. That, on one hand, they're just, you know, supporting insane prices of college. On the other hand, they're supporting the just almost unregulated use of credit,
right? But I'm saying Democrats attack oil, and then they'll attack anything just to kind of get some, you know. It's oil is bad, and the next thing you know, credit cards will be bad. And the next thing you know, it's just – it's not necessarily any of this is bad. It's just the way people use it and the way people are going about it, right? And oil specifically, like, it's all needed. And it will be – you know, capitalism will innovate to the point where we get out of this mess by itself. So it is what it is.
All right. What do we got? We got California switching to EVs?
All electric police cars.
I'm not shocked.
So if you get in trouble and you're in a police chase, you just need to outrun them for like 200 miles. You'll be good to go.
I didn't even think of that angle. I like that. I like that.
Well, I know what to do now.
I mean, that just makes a ton of sense that California would do that.
Right.
I mean, okay, so... Again, this is part of the narrative. Everything's a narrative now. So now, you know, anything that's run by the government, whether it's city, state, local, or city, you know, state, you know, federal, now it's all about the agenda. It doesn't matter what agenda it's pushed. As long as you're trying to resonate with a certain crowd to get votes, that's all that matters. So this police department, you know, these city to police departments, I guarantee you obviously are run by Democratic cities. They want to stay in power. They want to look good for a certain crowd of people. And they'll tailor to, you know, what's not necessarily right at the time. It's what's right for me to get the vote.
Yeah, but the rest of the world, it's not trying to tailor to a certain crowd. So we're going to spend more money, tax money, buying more expensive EVs than gas-powered cars, because that's just, like you said, the narrative.
This goes right in with Biden now talking. I believe the Biden administration is talking about I saw this. I don't know how 100% true this is, so just don't hold me to this, but apparently the Biden administration is looking into our military, you know, like trucks, military, you know, tanks, stuff
no,
like
he's,
that.
He's being not, electric. No, I heard that. I should know her name, the energy secretary, whatever her name is.
Okay.
That every military vehicle electric by 2030.
Really?
Yeah.
See now, all right. So how does that change the efficiency? So when we need to mobilize,
it's right? There's no way you can do it. It's impossible.
Well, all right.
You need giant generators, diesel generators. Like if you're in battle, like
need
that.
Like Iron Man's middle thing.
We're going back to the desert. The last time I checked, there's no power plants in the middle of the desert.
Need nuclear power plant to fuel these tanks.
Well, but think about mobilizing. You know, these EVs are heavier than a gas, a fossil fueled powered car. Right? They're just heavier because the battery's so goddamn heavy. So now we're talking about making, and they're not going to ever make, well, not ever, but like nowhere in the near future are we going to have big airplanes that are, you know, EV airplanes, because they can't, you know, like they're always worried about weight efficiency.
Yeah.
Like the battery is the most inefficient weight part of a whole EV, whatever, plane, car, whatever it may be. So how are they going to move all of these tanks and cars when they're you know, 50 to 100% more weight.
Yeah, or even, you know, you take a look at a car compared to a tank. Like, the tank's got armor on it. How I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but how many hundreds of times heavier is a tank than a car?
Well, think. I mean, if you're going to transport a tank, you put minimal gas in it when you put it in an airplane and fly it halfway across the world.
Yeah.
Where the battery, it's like, the battery's always there.
Yeah.
It's always the same weight. I can't.
That's fair. How are we going to get the tanks where they need them? Yeah, where they need to be.
So, I don't know. That's stupid.
That's what I say every day now. I wake up every morning and look through my news articles.
I'm okay with transitioning. It just cannot be so fast because we don't have the technology. The battery is probably not that efficient on a weight basis. When you're dragging more weight around, how efficient really is it?
How is the world looking at us though? Like when we were saying this stuff, like
we're the 1% trying to change the world into a better population. Everyone else isn't.
What's China saying? What's Russia saying?
I don't think they have EPA regulations, do they?
No.
That's the whole mess.
I mean, I think a couple years ago you watched 60 Minutes and you watch China and you go 5 miles outside of a major city and they're literally dumping garbage on the streets.
It just sounds like we're worried about the wrong stuff. Yes. Like it sounds like we are so focused on stuff that's going to get us into trouble down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't live in this perfect utopia, this perfect world, right? So like I don't know why we think it's this fairy tale world, especially one side thinks it's this one fairy tale world that we don't have to worry about national defense. We don't have to worry about other countries. Like, you know, we have to maintain our strength. And if we give up our strength, what's going to happen?
I don't know. You're right, man. We're focused on the wrong things. We're spending money on the wrong things, and it's scary.
But yeah, so. I was trying to find it right now because I'm not an electrician. I don't understand, you know, draws and amps and stuff, volts and things like that.
My 12 inch subs back in the day in the back of my car. I pulled about 2,000 watts, so I know a little bit.
All right. That's awesome. Yeah, I can totally picture
old subwoofers in the trunk.
Remember that podcast we did like a year and a half ago? We put the video up and my old picture. That was good times.
Those
were the good old days. Yep. Before we had it, we're talking about all the
bullcrap. Did they ever figure out are EVs like on an energy efficiency? Are they more efficient than gas powered?
In which way efficient?
Like the carbon imprint. Like a fossil fuel car burns this much emission to power.
They're absolutely.
To power the EV, I know the car itself does not spit out, you know, emissions, but the power plant
generating. It's actually worse.
Is it?
From my research and from the stats I've read, between the battery mining, between mining the batteries, the cobalt, whatever it be, and then, you know, the lithium, and then between the actual power plants, coal, whatever it be, in which, you know, nuclear would be great, but apparently nuclear is bad too, which isn't right. Nuclear is one of the cleanest energies out there, but most of our power comes from natural gear, from gas and from coal mining and things like that still.
Yep.
So the power grid's not where it needs to be, so it's worse.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. But yeah, I was watching a clip. You know, basically some guy wanted to get all of his forklifts and stuff in his factory on all electric. So he basically, you know, priced out, you know, 20 to 30 stalls for his forklifts and other vehicles in the factory. And basically the city came to him and was like, is this some kind of joke here? What you're trying to do?
You're pulling
more electricity than the whole entire city.
One thing we never talked about is...
For a 20 to 30 station for forklifts.
Forklifts.
Wow. One thing we never talked about is EMPs. Like what happened? If you want to demobilize an enemy army that's all electric, like launch a quick like electromagnetic pulse thing, right? EMP. Yep. And the next thing you know, the enemy can't do anything.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that knocks out regular cars too, though.
Does it?
If my movie watching is correct, I'm pretty sure.
Then there's a battery inside the car.
Right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You'd think that our tanks would be able to get around.
I don't know.
This is a good point. I'll research that for next time.
Yeah, we'll talk about my EMPs. Pay grade right now. All right. And then what do we have next? The cancel?
Yeah, I mean, don't go online and look about stuff on AI because. You know, they're basically
here we go AI is there.
But the story, apparently Wendy's, you know, great fast food restaurant, if you ask me.
As good as Taco Bell.
Yeah, it's a close one. Those spicy chicken nuggets, you know, they're good.
They hit hard.
They hit right, yeah. So But yeah, they're experimenting with, you know, eliminating employees essentially and using ChatGPT in the ordering process. So you go in, you basically just talk your order into AI, and that's how your order is taken. So we've already seen stuff like this with, you know, higher minimum wages and some of, you know, the more liberal states. You know, you see fast food restaurants replacing employees with like the computer terminals, the touch screens, which frankly are better than giving your order to someone because, you know, it won't get messed up. But yeah, I mean, what do you guys think of that and, you know, kind of the overall AI landscape? I know we even use some
of it. I don't see how AI can cook my food. I just cannot. I just can't get over that. I feel we're multi-years away from, you know, AI becoming a culinary expert chef, you know, Bobby Flay versus AI. You know, is that going to be on Food Network coming up and you're going to have some robot like dropping spaghetti on the floor? I don't know.
I don't think it's that far away.
Yeah, I think.
Really?
I've seen.
I mean, I've seen the robot dogs that, you know, get pushed over and they pop right back up. But I mean, you know, I don't see them flipping my steak. I don't see them dipping, dropping fries.
Manufacturers doing the same thing. Like in factories, I mean, everything's so automated. I mean, look at the Tesla factories. You see videos of that, like how automated it is putting the car together. Why couldn't it be your food? Now, all it takes, it's not necessarily whether we can do it or not. It's more of, is it cost efficient enough, right, to install the technology, to install it? And the problem is there isn't really a company out there that does this specifically for restaurants, right? All it takes is an innovator to come in, you know, a startup company to say, okay, we're going to do this specifically for fast food restaurants, set up the autonomous, you know, way, the software for the hardware and everything like that, charge them a certain amount of overhead, and then they amortize that over, you know, 20 years, whatever it be, and they do the math, and it works out, right? So all it takes is one guy, one company to come in here and disrupt it, put the technology together, and then it's here.
I mean, I could see a car. Like, it's like, there's instructions, you know, but like when you're cooking food, I mean, it's got to be the right temperature, the right look is, you know, there's got to be a human element to it. No, maybe I'm way off base. I don't know.
Yeah. So I saw this.
I mean, unless they have like thermo infrared things checking the how warm your hamburger is.
Maybe we'll have to take a field trip. but McDonald's has three locations with no employees. I saw this at the end of last year, Fort Worth, Texas, Denver, Colorado, and Las Vegas, Nevada. Hmm. We should have sent Luke there.
I would have done some DD.
Oh, that would have been, that would have been, man, yep. Too bad you were just out there too.
So,
what are we got to check the reviews on that.
Well, we're possibly opening up an office in Dallas, so we can go down there, you know?
Mm. All right. We'll see. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's according to my quick internet search right here, they all appear to be fully functioning McDonald's. Yeah, so it's here already.
But the key thing for restaurants is quality control.
Right.
Right. You want it when you go to Chipotle, you want the burrito to be the same wherever you go. McDonald's, you want it to be the same wherever you go. Right.
That's so, why I mean, I don't go to Chipotle anymore.
When you have technology, what's going to happen? I think is the menu is going to get more limited. Like McDonald's is going to serve.
It's
five
already
things.
Happened. That's yeah. Definitely already happened.
Because yeah. The more limited it is, the more you can control quality. The more right. The easier it is to mass produce per se. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so it's more profitable to have a smaller menu.
Correct. Yep. So. Maybe it's our startup idea. Maybe we should just start up a AI company, fast food, and then we can gain 100 pounds and we can go test out our own product.
Sounds good. Yeah, don't Google ingredients at McDonald's fast food either. Do not do it.
I remember those things where, like, you know, they somebody dropped a McDonald's hamburger behind their stove, forgot about it a year later. The thing is, there's no mold on it.
About that too. Guys, I'm not kidding. Like, I literally just pulled up my phone, and I just got a notification, free McChicken today only. Get your free McChicken.
It's listening to you.
It really, like, we joke about that, but it really is.
No, that's not a joke, dude. That's happening.
That is happening.
100%.
We're so screwed.
I looked up on my computer a pair of sunglasses. I pull up Facebook this morning. Those pair of sunglasses are the first thing that pop up in Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Bananas, dude. I don't know.
I was talking with something about my wife. I forget exactly what it was. Something I would never, ever look at. And then I opened up Instagram 5 minutes later, and it was the first ad that I saw.
Right.
Yeah. So All right, so I guess next week we'll talk about doomsday prepping, building Spam. Bunkers and whatnot.
Spam.
Spam lasts forever.
AI is going to poison our food at McDonald's.
It already is poisoned.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, excellent episode this week. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Hit us up at info@swpconnect.com if you have any comments or show ideas, and we will talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.